Today's daf in the Sechet Shvi'it, brought to you from Yerushalayim Yir HaKodesh, is daf Lamed, and we've been in the middle of the machlokes between the Tanakhama and Shimon ben Gamliel about whether there's an iser on Shvi'is to do avodas hakarka where there would be no agricultural implications in the output. So in other words, would you be allowed to plant a pine tree on Shvi'is where there's no dinim of Kedusha Shvi'is on what's going to grow? Would you be allowed to burn down, as the case that we had yesterday, an ishotakani, which is like a whole thicket of reeds? Would you be allowed to burn that down? That was the machlokes between the Tanakhama, who holds that there is an iser even in doing avodas hakarka. Most learned that that would be a derabbanan, not a deraisa, because it doesn't fit any of the melachas that are mentioned, but that it's an overall halacha of the shavas haoretz, shavas Hashem. And that's the issue. But there are other arguments about the dinam of Shvi'is between the Tanakam, Reb Shimon ben Gamliel, that we bring here agavurcha. So let's say you think that you could just hook up an animal to a plow and get it to plow. Well, it's not that easy. Animals have to be trained in order to pull a plow. So what happens if it's the year of Shvi'is and you want to train animals for plowing? So now the question is, I mean, over there you would be doing Harisha, but you're not doing Harisha for agricultural output at all, right? You're only getting it to get used to the idea of Harisha. So if you do that, then if you hold it, you're not allowed to do Avodas HaKarka, even where there's no actual output, that is no Geashvias. So then it would be also maybe to even do avodas hakarka, but there's no output at all, because the bottom line is you're doing a harisha. Or it may be at least an issue of, it sure looks like pretty bad, the guy's doing harisha mamish, so it's certainly maris ha'ayin. So what happens in that case? So the Tanakhama holds you cannot do the training of harisha unless you're in a desert. You're doing it on sand dunes, which cannot be actually farmed. Whereas Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel says, no, you can even do it in a field, as long as it's not your field where people will suspect you. And what you got to be careful is, don't have the training making furrows close to each other, because then nobody's going to avoid this sense that you're trying to do an actual harisha and shvi'is. So what you can do is you can train the animal, then move over 10 feet to another place, train again another animal or this animal. And that way, if it's clearly the furrows are so far apart that nobody would do a normal harisha this way, so then you can avoid the entire issue of the maris ha'ayin as well. Okay. Abba Shaul Omer. Now, the Gra doesn't see this as a bright. Abba Shaul Omer. Mivarin Becharashi. That you're actually able to go into a forest, into a choresh, and you can clear out a whole area because you're trying to bring the wood, and you can be gomen ni'ima oret. You can even cut it mamish down to the ground. And as long as bilvad shelo yakutz bekardon, as long as you don't use a kardon, nobody is going to think that you're there to clear the ground. Now, the kardon is like, you know, the type of hatchets which has a sharp point on one side and has a blade on the other side. I'm sure you've seen this, very popular hatchets, right? Sharp and blade. The reason that those are used and they're popular is because after you cut all the way down, you use that sharp end to rip out any remaining roots in the ground and just to chip away at whatever's left until it's all cleared. Now, if you use that kind of tool, then it definitely looks like you're trying to go all the way down and make the surface roughly for actual planting. So there, we don't allow it to use that. As long as you're not using that, nobody is concerned, even if you are leaving the tree in and cutting it all the way to the ground. Cutting it all the way to the ground is not good enough to be able to plant, obviously. Now, here's another question. If you want to just check out whether your seeds are good or not, so what you would want to do is put a little bit of ground into a pot, and then you do a trial run. You take those seeds, you plant them, and you see whether they actually sprout. Because you're not going to invest all of the incredible effort of sowing when you haven't checked out to make sure that these seeds are actually fertile. But what you could do is you could fill up a pot with glalim. So if it's filled up with manure, then you could check it. And that part you could figure out, because this is not obviously using the ground at all. So in other words, the iser to plant, first of all, mi'ikar hadin, is where you're planting in order to grow, not where you're planting in order to see whether something actually is going to put up a sprout. So there shouldn't be an iser. The problem, of course, is that it sure looks awfully bad, right? Then we've got the other iser, the other question about the din of an atzitz that has a nekev and an atzitz that doesn't have a nekev. So over here, it assumes apparently that there's no difference, because it doesn't talk over here about whether it has a nekev or not. And then, obviously, the normal way of planting is on ground. If you're planting in manure, so then that's basically planting the way it's done nowadays during Shemitah, which is hydroponics. And this is all you're doing is a hydroponic growing. The fact that you're using fertilizer doesn't change it from hydroponics. And to discuss direct hydroponics is the next thing. So you can allow aloe to grow, and it grows even on the top of your roof, and you just can water them, but you can allow them to continue to grow. And we'll get into this, we're over our time. So we'll continue this tomorrow, Bezrat Hashem, and see what this is all about. But it has important implications for our hydroponic discussion. Yes, Rav Banya.
I wanted to mention about the Medo Bezetim, and I want to interrupt. In Carthage, there was an agriculture expert 2,500 years ago called Mago, and he wrote a 28-book series, and that was translated. The Romans destroyed the Carthage library, but they kept it and translated to Latin. We have pieces of it in different writings. It was the Bucky Utsum, and he writes about how to plant olives, and the remains of how the Romans handled the land is still evident in Tunisia, because almost nothing changed because it was Africa. So there's a proportion of how much land each tree needs. And the more fertile the land, the closer they can be. And it's incredible to watch, going from north to the drier south, that you see cleats shows together, and then there's 10 meters around each one, and then you're going further south, and it's all equally balanced. Like this is where you plant the tree. The spacing goes out. So the man lived 2,500 years ago, and his shittos are still there. But it's very striking, because the Romans, I think somebody else also said, let's take all this land and produce more olive oil. And they used the shita, and the spacing is of a critical importance for the long-term effectiveness of it. Just fascinating to see it as a draw.
Beautiful. Excellent. Thank you. Thank you, Sir Bernier. The last thing that we had learned was mekaimim et alvi rosh hagag. Alvi actually is aloe vera, according to many. Alvi, right? So these aloe plants, which are the source of aloe vera, so they grow on their own. And they can, you know, if a roof is damp, they grow up on your roof. But you're not allowed to water it directly. You can allow it to grow there. So now, I mean, this really doesn't make much sense, because, I mean, you can allow things to grow anywhere. It's not your business to get rid of plants, right? And the only time, this is actually a teretz that we find about the Rambam, who paskins that there's certain things, which we had the case before, that things that are hard, irakot kulam shehuk shelifnei Rosh Hashanah, and im hayu rakim osir lekaimon mishum sfichet, im mechayvin oto lesharesh et haluv, elamini chol paretz kamot shehu. And says the Kesef Mishnah that the idea over there is that if they are not actually dry, so then people are going to think that you planted them on purpose. So maybe the point is, says the Kesef Mishnah, that alvi does not mean aloe vera. Alvi means very sensitive plants. Soft plants. And that would be what the Rambam is saying. That here you'd be allowed to leave it, since it's on the roof. Nobody's going to think that you actually planted it, but you're not allowed to water it. Why not? We said that you are allowed to water during Shvius if it's going to prevent things from losing their life. And that's only called being Mekayemet. Ah, so that could be because it would be Svichin. And since you're not allowed to eat it anyway, so therefore, you're not allowed to water it, because you can only water where you're going to be allowed to eat. Fine? Okay. Now, ein tolin tochin b'te'ina. Now, these tochin are basically a type of charm. So it's like a magical kind of thing. And you're not allowed to do that in order to make a tree produce fruit, even using magic. So it's similar to actually producing during Shvius. What do you do when you do that? You bring a yichur de teina shater v'tamiba. You take a strong teina that's producing fruit. You cut a piece of wood, a branch, soft branch from it, and you hang it on this fig, a tree, which is not producing fruit. And as you hang it, you talk to the tree. And you say, ha, you stupid tree. Hada avda, look at this branch over here from this kid, you know? It's full of fruit. Look at you. Va'at letat avda, you don't do a darn thing. Now that usually will embarrass the tree into producing. And so you're not allowed to even do that, because that's the way that people think they're going to produce figs. So if they do that, so it would be like working during Shvius. Wait a minute. Everybody knows the famous brisa that talks about a tree that drops its fruit before they mature, right? So remember, we had beautiful story in Shabbos where it says that you're allowed to actually paint the tree, besikra. You're allowed to be matinin oto avanim. You're allowed to hang rocks on the tree, which force it to strengthen itself. And now listen to this. You're allowed to embarrass that tree so that it should start producing. Okay? And it's no problem, continues on in the price over there, beferish, that this is mutter b'shvias. You don't have to be chayish mishum iser shvias. So now the fact that you can embarrass a tree, the other thing's fine, you know. Sokrin oto besikra. So Gemara said over there, that's to encourage people to pray for it. If they see the tree was painted by you, it means that you're supposed to daven for my tree. This is a sick tree. Please pray. Here's the mother's name. And the other case of the toinin oto avonim, it's also, it forces the tree. Listen, you think the only people who go to gym is people? You have never seen ants in a gym? So the tree has to get used to lifting these heavy stones. That gives it enough extra energy that now it will produce fruit. Definitely a very fine way to advertise for your local gym. But the third thing, embarrass the tree so that it should start producing. And so how do you embarrass the tree? You make fun of it. That's what I just said. Okay, so that's considered to be magic. And here we said you're not allowed to use magic. And there it says you are allowed to use magic. Answers the Gemara over there. It's talking about to make it that it doesn't lose the peros that it's produced. That's talking about just to be ukume ilana. Ramhacha, what we said before, that's magic to get it to produce. That's the equivalent of Ivruya Ilana. And that means that you're using magic to actually catalyze production. The Avid Betchila, that's us. Furthermore, says the Braita, Ein Markivim Dekalim Bipnei She'i Avodah. So, okay, it's a big machlokas over here whether Markivim means literally Markivim, meaning to have a male a branch being Murkav on a date that's a female, so you're bringing basically the pollinator close to the pistil holder. That's the question. Or does it mean shake, which is normally what's done? You take a branch that has these male flowers and you just move it over. You dust it. You move it over the female tree so that now it will produce dates, right? Okay. That's a machlokas, what we mean over here by harkava, whether it's literally harkava or it means just pollination. So isn't that obvious that you're not allowed to do that? Isn't that mamish, like one of the big things you have to do in agriculture? It's pure growing during Shvias. No? No, because Shilotomar, oh, the Hefsid Rabo. I mean, if I would not pollinate it, I mean, basically, the tree is not going to develop fruit at all. So I would have thought that, I mean, that's like saving the tree, and that's mutter. It doesn't matter if you lose your whole crop. The bottom line is, it's a direct stimulus of growth. Now, we also had that the Mishnah is telling us that there's a question of cutting the betulat shikma. And Rabbi Yehuda said, it's not a problem as long as you don't do it ke'urche, and you make a change. So how do you make the change? So Rabbi Yehuda said, either by cutting 10 tefachim above the ground, or by cutting it all the way down to the ground. That's not normally the way you would treat the betulat shikma, and therefore there's no problem. So the truth is that what it said, the way you would read the Mishnah, is a mistake. Because actually, he was referring to cutting your sycamore. Doesn't have to be down at the ground when he said that. He meant that as long as it's less than 3 tvachim, it's lovut. So as long as it's less than 3 tvachim to the ground, that is what he's calling ground level. And that would be fine. And when you said it has to be 10 tvachim, it doesn't mean 10 tvachim. It means in the 10th tefach and up. So it really only needs to be 9 tvachim. That's the point. And as long as it's within the 10th tefach, that would be okay. All right, now we did the Mishnah, so we'll append that. Bezrat Hashem, it's better to append that to what we just did now. So then how do we go beyond that? We'll have to make a third. Gosh. Ay-ay-ay. What a mess.
We need bite size. Everybody has a lot to absorb. It's okay to have less than daf pieces, I think, for you, Jean.
You know, why is it that I suspect that this is very similar to Pesel Micha? When the Kohen wanted to have some potatoes and eggs for breakfast, the people who would come in would be told the only carbon you can bring is potatoes and eggs. And when he wanted pancakes, so then he would tell them, oh, this idol only eats pancakes.
And David Alone and I are going there tomorrow.
Okay. I see. That's why Zoom put the three of you right next to each other on the screen. Beautiful. Okay. So I don't know. I always find Barnea's determination on a particular day, whether we should do a little bit more or do a little bit less, very similar to the Pesel Micha phenomenon. But all right. I'll follow his lead today. Okay, Rabbosai, we should be Zeche to Besuras Teves Yeshuas Venechames. And today should be the day where we would see a Shias, a Mechel, Vorechas, Machalasecha, or Aim, Asim, Ad Ha'olam. Remember the Ramchal, every day a person has to be Mitzapeli Yeshua, every single day, to actually be Mekarev, Egeula.